Back in the day, insurance agents visited with their clients around the kitchen table to collect premiums and discuss coverage. Nowadays, people are more concerned with convenience and price without really understanding what they're purchasing. Our goal for each show is to bring some of that kitchen table conversation back in order to help our listeners understand their coverage and how it relates to their particular situation. We would like to mention that every insurance company is a little different as far as their policies and coverage. Please contact your insurance company for more information on your particular situation. And now, let's talk insurance. Hello, and welcome once again to Let's Talk Insurance, the weekly podcast where we share with you all things insurance. I am Matt, and we are from Marsilia and Vanderplow Insurance Agency, located in beautiful downtown Holland, Michigan. If you're anywhere on the West Michigan Lakeshore, you can give us a call, 616-396-1497. Anywhere else in the state of Michigan, you can call us toll-free, 1-800-968-1497. Visit us on the web. I got two addresses for you. If you're on a desktop, you want to go to mvpinsure.us. That's mvpinsure.us. If you're on a tablet or a smartphone, you're going to want to go to m.hollandshometownagency.com. Again, that's m as in Mary, .hollandshometownagency.com to access our website. And that is mobile device friendly. You want to send us an email, you could do that too. MarsiliaINS@gmail.com. That's MarsiliaINS@gmail.com. We're always on the lookout for new topics to discuss here on Let's Talk Insurance. So if you happen to have a topic that you would like discussed, please send us an email, MarsiliaINS@gmail.com, and put in the subject line insurance podcast topic or question. And we will make sure that it ends up on a future episode of the Let's Talk Insurance podcast. This week, I wanted to talk about something that's been going on for years. People are looking at downsizing. They're looking at simplifying. They're looking at doing a lot of things. And so one of the big movements as of late has been the tiny house movement. I believe on TLC, Home and Garden, a lot of the other networks, there's like a total of, I think, maybe five or six different shows that deal with tiny house living. From Tiny House Hunters to Big Living Tiny House, Tiny House Nation, a lot of other programs having to do with living in a tiny home. And I thought today, since that is a hot topic as of late, that I would talk with you a little bit more about the tiny house movement and what it means as far as whether or not you should consider moving into a tiny home. How about that? But today we're going to talk about questions to ask yourself. And today we're going to talk about questions you should ask yourself if you're interested in joining the tiny house movement. Now, we can all understand the concept and appeal of tiny houses. The balance of amenities and comforts and bare bones living is a fresh notion in a world where we scramble to accumulate as much as possible. Henry David Thoreau spoke of bare essential living in his book Walden. But the tiny house movement really started back in the 1970s and has seen a huge resurgence in the late 2000s thanks to the housing and financial crisis. And now with a proliferation of television shows dedicated to tiny houses, people are embracing simpler living philosophy. There are some things to consider when it comes to tiny house living. The Tiny House has an article. It's a blog. TheTinyHouse.net, I believe. But if you go to our blog, you go to blog.letstalkinsurance.com. You should be able to pull that up from there. There are some things to consider when it comes to tiny house living. The Tiny House has an article on questions to ask yourself before jumping headlong into tiny house living. Question number one, do you have allergies? If you're allergic to sawdust, propane, alcohol, or other building materials, tiny house living might not be for you. Talking about when it talks about the construction of the home itself. You're going to be working in, living in a small space. It's not going to be have as good an airflow as a regular larger home. More cramped quarters. So of course, you know, the chemicals involved with building a home, those smells are going to be a bit more pronounced and last a little bit longer than a full-size home that was built. So certainly something to consider if you have allergies. You know, you got, like I said, a small space, allergies, if you have them, I'm sure they could run rampant living in such a small space. Number two, what are the local laws in regards to tiny houses? It may actually be illegal to have a tiny house where you live, or at least it will be mired in a legal gray area. Check with a county, city, township to see what the zoning building codes are for tiny house construction. Tiny houses pretty much fall into a gray area in a lot of places. Reason being is they didn't really see a huge movement happen, you know, back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, really. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, that it was about around 2008 that the tiny house movement really found a resurgence from the 1970s. Check with the local building codes and whatnot to see if it's legal where you live. A lot of mobile home parks and RV parks will not allow tiny house, even though it may fit as far as the size and everything like that. But there are RV parks and manufactured home parks that will not allow tiny homes on their property. It varies from place to place, so you definitely want to check into that. So what are the local laws in regards to tiny houses? It may be illegal to have a tiny house where you live, or at least it will be mired in a legal gray area. Check with a county, city, township to see what the zoning building codes are for tiny house construction. Varies from place to place. Again, tiny house really isn't a home. Technically, it's not really a stick-built home, and then technically, it's not a trailer or a manufactured home. It is a stick home that is built on a chassis where it can be moved. It's not a stick-built home. It's not a travel trailer. It's not a mobile home. So it just kind of, you know, it may adhere to the building of a stick home. It's just one of those things that's just kind of odd. So you certainly want to check to see where you live. There are some areas that won't allow you, even if you own a piece of vacant land, they won't allow you to park your tiny home on your own land in some places of the country. So you definitely want to take time to do your research before you move headlong into building a tiny house. Number three, are you agile mobile? Tight spaces and the need for ladders won't be pleasant for those with physical issues. Me and myself, I'm a rather overweight individual. Thinking a tiny house probably isn't for me, just because the cramped spaces involved be very difficult for me to move around. And then because my knees, I have a hard time climbing ladders. So that really isn't going to work for me. Tiny house living is cool. I mean, I've watched the shows. I could totally understand where people want to downsize and they want to do something different. Be able to move their home to a nice piece of land. If they want to move it somewhere else, they're able to do that. I totally get that. It's just for me, again, with my size, that just wouldn't work for me. If you're an elderly sort, you may want to consider that again, because you're going to be climbing up and down ladders to get to your bed. You're going to be moving things around. You've got cramped spaces everywhere. Definitely want to consider that. As you get older, is a tiny house going to work for me? If you're a young couple and you're thinking about having children and whatnot, you might want to think about it with this question. Number four, do you have a big family? Tiny houses are usually best for singles or couples, with the rare occasion of having a child or two. But as the children grow, the space can seem a lot smaller and impractical. Now, I've seen a lot of these tiny homes where they have these nice porches or deck areas to be able to spread out into. I've seen tiny houses where the parent's bed is on one side of the loft and then the child's bed's on the other side of the loft. You know, you got privacy issues. If you can't work well together, like in a car, if you have issues riding in a car with the other people for 8 to 12 hours, then getting a tiny house to put everybody in probably isn't going to be the most pleasant situation. I have seen tiny homes with children, but they are small children. So I'm thinking that as those children get older, that the issues of privacy and cramped quarters are going to come into play. Again, really, the tiny house movement seems like it's geared more towards single people and couples without children, maybe those that have just retired or don't want to have children, and that seems like a tiny house would be perfect for them. Number five, are you claustrophobic, afraid of heights? If small spaces or heights are difficult for you, tiny living might not be for you. Again, the tiny houses, usually the way it works is the beds or the quote-unquote bedrooms are actually lofts up towards the roof area of the home. And then the downstairs area, you have a sitting area, a kitchen / dining area, and then usually a bathroom or a bathroom and a small closet. The bathroom, you're looking at maybe the size of a motorhome bathroom, very small, toilet sink, stand-up shower. There have been occasions where there've been bathtubs, but they've been unconventional bathtubs, like a feeding trough, or I've seen like a bushel barrel that somebody had turned into a bathtub. Very, very cramped quarters. If you don't like farting in front of your spouse, you're gonna have a hard time being in the bathroom with. You know, your spouse or significant other just a few feet away while you're trying to use the restroom, as it were. Very, very, very tight quarters. So again, if you're claustrophobic, tiny living isn't going to be for you. If you're afraid of heights, tiny living probably isn't going to be for you. And that's because, again, the bedrooms are usually located in the loft above the space. So having to climb up and down a ladder, not having any sort of railing. I've yet to see a loft with a railing or something like that so you don't fall. I've not seen that in any of the tiny home programs that I've watched. Maybe there are some out there, but I haven't seen any. In regards to using the restroom, can you handle using a composting toilet? If you can't see yourself doing your business and then adding a layer of sawdust, much less emptying the toilet, you might want to pass on tiny living. Again, these homes do not have, in a lot of cases, do not have like running water and facilities. Usually it's hooked up to a water hose or a water tank. That runs the shower and the sink in the kitchen, but they usually don't have a flushing toilet. That's when you find that tiny homes usually use a composting toilet, which is kind of like a camping toilet. They use composting toilets a lot up in Alaska too, if you're out in the sticks and are away from city water and sewer and stuff like that. They do have they use composting toilets for that fact that they don't have any running water or sewer up in the Alaskan wilderness. So basically you do your business and then you put a layer of sawdust over top to keep down the smell and I didn't even want to go into it, but if you can't handle using a camping toilet, having to deal with that mess, tiny living probably isn't for you. I'll just leave it at that. And then number 7, can you live with the bare essentials? Although tiny house building has an art of where to store things, if you're a shopaholic or a clothes horse, you might not be ready for tiny house living. Again, there are a lot of ingenious ways. There are people that have built storage areas in the floors of their tiny homes. The cubby holes in the stairwells that they have built, the stairs up to the lofts, they either have flip-up storage or they have like cubby hole storage. A lot of people have been very ingenious with what they've done as far as storage in a tiny home. But if you're one that likes to wear, you know, several different outfits, you know, more than maybe 5 outfits, you know, you got to think about storage of winter clothing, storage of summer and spring clothing, swapping that out. Difficult enough for 2 people. I can imagine it'd be near impossible for 4 people. You know, this is basically tiny house living is getting down to the bare essentials, to declutter, to just enjoy the surroundings, really. I mean, because you could park these things basically anywhere. So you could park it back in the woods, and you have a beautiful view every time you wake up, or be able to walk out onto your deck or your porch and just see the view. Then if you want to move, all you got to do is just hook it back up and tow it down the line. So really, you think about tiny house living, you're thinking about camping. You know, you only need to bring the essentials when you go camping. You don't need to bring a ton of things with you. So that's kind of how to think of it when you think about tiny house living, is basically you're camping. So you really need to consider decluttering, getting down to basics. You know, what can I absolutely live without? What do I absolutely need? There are tons of websites out there. Again, the tiny house has a blog. I got a link to it on our website. If you go to go to mvpinsure.us or blog.letstalkinsurance.com. Have a link right to the article that you can check it out. The article has a bunch more questions that you can ask. I just brought up a few to share with you today. Insuring a tiny house can be a challenge since it conforms to 2 different concepts, traditional built homes and mobile homes or travel trailers. Our agency has access to markets willing to provide insurance to tiny homes. So if you're in the West Michigan Lakeshore area, you can give us a call, 616-396-1497. Anywhere else in the state of Michigan, you could call us toll-free, 1-800-968-1497. Visit us on the web, 2 different addresses. If you're on a desktop, go to mvpinsure.us. That's mvpinsure.us. If you're on a smartphone or a tablet, go to m.hollandshometownagency.com. If you want to send us an email, you can do that too. It's marsiliins@gmail.com. That's marsiljeins@gmail.com. Be glad to answer any questions that you have. We're always on the lookout for new podcast topics and questions dealing with insurance or insurance-related issues. You just shoot us an email, marsiliins@gmail.com. Put in the subject line, insurance podcast question or topic, and we will make sure that it gets on a future podcast of Let's Talk Insurance. Well, that's going to do it for me for this week. I want to thank you for tuning in each and every week to Let's Talk Insurance, the weekly podcast where we share with you all things insurance. Have a great week.